I hope. If you have your Bibles with you, or there are some in the pews, I'm sorry I didn't look ahead to see which page number the scripture reading was on this morning, but we're going to be hearing God's word from John chapter 11, the 11th chapter of John's gospel. I'll be reading verses 1 through 44, but our special focus this morning will be on verse 41. So John chapter 11, I'll begin the reading at the first verse, but before we come to the reading and preaching of God's word, let's ask for his blessing. Let us pray. Lord, you are great, and great wonders you have done. And how we praise and thank you that you are forgiving and good. If you would mark our sin, who could stand before you? And we know the answer to that is not one of us. But we come to you not on our own merits, but upon the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come in the name of Jesus through that new and living way that he has opened to your throne of grace. It is the throne. You are the sovereign God, but it is a throne of grace. How wonderful that we may find grace and mercy and help in a time of need. And so we pray as we have just sung together, O Lord, that you would listen, that you would hear and answer our prayer. And right now we ask, Lord, that your Spirit would give us real ears to hear your word, that the good seed of the gospel would find soil that you have prepared, that you have made good soil so that the gospel can take root and sprout and bear much good fruit to the praise of your glorious grace. Lord, we desire to draw near to you. We thank you that you have brought us near, we who are once far away, that we have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And we pray that you would draw near to your people now, all who are seeking you, seeking your face, in the name of Jesus. Amen. John chapter 11, and we'll begin the reading at verse number 1. This is God's holy and infallible word. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, Let us go back to Judea. But Rabbi, they said, a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light. After he had said this, he went on to tell them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come to come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. And when Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Well, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, from this wonderful chapter in God's word, John chapter 11, friends, this afternoon, or this morning, our text is the 41st verse. So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you. Thank you, Father. Those three words. Thank you, Father. Perhaps those were words spoken this morning more than usual, more than other mornings during the year. But maybe those words, thank you, Father, were words that were noticeably and painfully absent in people's lives. For various reasons. Perhaps those words, thank you, Father, were words desperately longed for in people's lives. Just to mention the word Father in a fallen world can bring out all sorts of responses and reactions from people. But those three words, thank you, Father, were the words that Jesus himself, as we've read, once spoke. And they contain, by God's grace, a great assurance and comfort for every Christian. We know that Jesus taught both by words and by example. And the life of Jesus Christ in one particular area as our Savior was a great example, and that's the area of gratitude. Gratitude. Like stripes on a zebra, boys and girls, or spots on a leopard, gratitude is always something that marks a true Christian. The Bible is a book filled with examples of gratitude. God's word echoes with calls to thanksgiving. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I'm sure that over the past few weeks, you could find hundreds, if not thousands, of Father's Day cards or internet memes expressing some kind of thank you. But those same words, one day, in the life of Jesus, were on his own lips. Father, I thank you. We know that Jesus gave thanks for physical blessings, John 6:11. But here in John 11, he is thankful particularly for a spiritual blessing. Over and over again, when prayer is seen in the Bible, gratitude is present or gratitude is commanded. We're seeing this coming together in the life and the words of Jesus, the coming together of gratitude and the spiritual blessing of prayer. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when we pray, our prayers are to be filled with thanksgiving. But in our passage today, John 11:41, we see we are to be thankful not only in prayer, but preeminently for prayer. To be thankful for prayer. Have you ever heard a godly person pray? Someone who really knows the God to whom they're praying? What blessing, what a spiritual education we can have, not only hearing what is said, but how it is said. Well, this morning, through the Word of God, beloved, we have in God's Word an even greater privilege. We have the opportunity to hear Jesus pray. We have the privilege of listening to the Lord of glory, communing with his Heavenly Father in prayer. What a privilege. The Son of God, in his true humanity, lived in a perfect relationship with his Father. And here we see what Jesus thanked his Father for. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. The Father always heard his Son. And Jesus says, thank you. Thank you, Father, that you heard me. I wonder if you had an earthly father or have an earthly father still who takes the time to listen, who really heard you. Hearing and listening can be different things. Do you have a father like that? Maybe that is something that you miss so much if your father is no longer able to talk with you. I have a friend in the Russell congregation whose father passed away close to 20 years ago now. And he regularly says, I wish I could talk to my dad about that. Wish I could just hear what my dad would say. Maybe this is something that you've always wanted from your father, but never received. Maybe he was too busy or too distant or too uninterested. Now, this kind of sentiment was captured by Judy Rogers, who sings a lot of songs for children, but she wrote one song from the perspective of a child. And it always moves me when I hear it. It's called Talk to Me. And this is what it says. My mother always talks with me. I love to hear her voice. She tells me wonderful things of God that make my heart rejoice. It doesn't matter if we're home or riding in the car or on a sunny day when we go for a walk. It may be early in the morning or before I go to bed. She always takes the time to talk to me. Talk to me, show me that you care. Talk to me, listen to what I say. Talk to me, there's so much we can share. I know you love me when you talk to me. My father comes home from work at night, and even though he's very tired, he reads the Bible and we talk it out. And he closes the day with prayer. It doesn't matter if we're home or riding in the car or on a sunny day when we go for a walk. It may be early in the morning or before I go to bed. He always takes the time to talk to me. Talk to me, show me that you care. Talk to me, listen to what I say. Talk to me, there's so much we can share. I know you love me when you talk to me. Talk to me, listen to what I say. You know, friends, if human parents and earthly children know the blessing of listening and being listened to, how much more the blessing, the comfort, the joy when our Heavenly Father hears us. As Jesus spoke about good gifts, we could say similarly, if you, being evil, know how to listen to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven? In terms of earthly relationships, if you're someone who misses that listening, if you long for that listening, in the gospel there is a Father who hears his children. If you're a father or mother, though on the other hand, perhaps who has failed and who fails in listening, there is forgiveness and there is hope for us too in the Savior who can raise the dead, John 11. If your heart is filled with hurting, with cares and concerns, or with joys or gladness, Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your hearts to him. Let's look at this thank you, Father, prayer of Jesus more closely in John 11. There's so many things to learn from our Lord. John says, Jesus looked up as he prayed. He looked up. He lifted his eyes up to heaven. And it seems it's a common practice. It was a common practice in John 17:1, the high priestly prayer. Jesus spoke these words and lifted his eyes up to heaven. One writer says this is an outward expression of the elevation of his mind. It's where his mind was going. It's where his heart and his soul was going. And in part, it was no doubt to show those around him that his authority and his power came from nowhere else but from God on high. Even as the God-man, in his true human nature, he looks to heaven as he prays. It's a token of the fact that when Jesus prayed, as when any Christian prays, we look to and we speak to the exalted, almighty, holy, sovereign God who rules supremely over all things. By prayer, we are entering into the realm of the omnipotent one. We need to remember that. There's no posture for prayer prescribed in the Bible. We see people standing on their feet to pray. We see people flat on their faces praying. We often see people kneeling in prayer. Have you ever knelt in prayer? I hope you have. It's hard to be humble when you're on your knees. C.S. Lewis said, God made us body and soul, and what affects our bodies can have an influence on our souls. Not saying you have to do that, but there's something about getting on your knees Isn't that the way that our forefathers and our foremothers prayed? They said, let's get down on our knees. Well, similarly with looking up. You can pray looking down, but Jesus looked up. And it was for him as his heart was lifted up to his Father, but it's a lesson for us as well. We pray to God when we pray. And so casual prayers, flippant prayers, are blasphemous prayers. The place called heaven is the special location of the particular expression of God's holiness and glory. Nothing clean ever enters there. Heaven is the radiance of the pure light of God Himself. Only holy creatures and holy people dwell there. And from there, the holiness and righteousness of God is revealed. But notice that as Jesus lifts his eyes to this holy, majestic heaven and the holy God of heaven, he addresses God not as the King of glory, though he may have done that, not as the judge and the lawgiver and the king, though he may have. Those things are always appropriate. But he looks to heaven, he lifts his eyes to heaven, and he addresses God as Father. The titles of majesty in this prayer are exchanged for the intimate language of family, relationship, Father. And it speaks of love and care and concern and protection. This prayer from the lips of Jesus ascends to his Father who is in heaven. A wonderful mingling of power and love, of righteousness and relationship, of holiness and intimacy. And isn't that the way, boys and girls, that Jesus taught his disciples to pray? Lord, teach us to pray. When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven. It's a beautiful coming together of sovereignty and sonship. And that all sets the context for the content of the prayer of Jesus. They took the stone away from the place where the dead man was lying. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. On several occasions in the Bible, we read that Jesus gave thanks in prayer, but here we have his exact words. And what is a cause for gratitude in the mind and heart of our Lord? What is Jesus thankful for when he prays? Well, Jesus, obviously, is thankful for prayer itself. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He's thankful for prayer itself. Even more, he's thankful in the confidence and assurance that not only will God hear his prayer, I knew that you always hear me, but that his Father had already heard and answered it. I thank you that you have heard me. Well, we just need those few brief words of this prayer of Jesus to give us a tremendous reason to be thankful. The perfect assurance of heard and answered prayer. The comfort and confidence of a Father who hears. But you may be saying, well, this was Jesus praying. Remember, this was Jesus praying. And of course, we know that Jesus prayed perfect prayers as the perfect Son of God. He always prayed according to the will of God. What father could turn a deaf ear to such a son? You know, when we're in good relationship with our children and they come and ask us things, we're more inclined to hear and listen and say yes. And when things aren't so well, we're more hesitant. We'll say, I'm not just going to give you what you're asking for. Jesus prayed perfect prayers as a perfect son. In Psalm 91, a psalm that even the devil knew spoke of Christ, if you remember the temptation in the wilderness, says in verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. It's God speaking of the prayers of his son. And so, friends, the first thing we need to understand in the Christian life as we think about Jesus praying prayers and being heard as the perfect Son of God, that we are not like Jesus. That's the first thing to learn in the Christian life. I'm not like Jesus. Sometimes the Sunday school approach is to take little kids and just begin teaching them, here's Jesus, now you try to be like him. And that certainly has a place in the Christian life, but it's not the first place. The first place is to come to the scripture and read and learn of the Son and see clearly and acknowledge from the heart, I am not like him. I am not like this Jesus. I do not love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I do not love my neighbor as myself. My lips do not with grace overflow. I'm not like him. That's the place to begin, friends. We have to begin there because it's true. Because it's true, and it's the worst news in the world to present a Jesus to people and say, now you just go and try to be like him. That's moralism, that's legalism, that's liberalism, that's death, as we heard. We don't need a little repair here and there. We need the overhaul. The Bible tells us that we are all born children of wrath, sons and daughters of disobedience. We're born with sinful natures that flow out into sinful lives. And in terms of prayer, Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked. He hears the prayers of the righteous. And when we think of that in an absolute sense, do we even dare to lift up our eyes to heaven to pray? This is where God's Spirit brought the tax collector in Luke 18:13. The tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And with that recognition and looking to Christ, he went home justified. Do we have any right to address the Holy One as our Father? Luke 15, the prodigal father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So, friends, if we will ever be truly thankful for prayer, thankful for a Father who hears us, the first step is confessing that we have no right to it. That our sin has severed those lines of spiritual communication with the Holy God, and left to ourselves, not one of our prayers could have ever permeated the purity of heaven and reached the ears of God. Now, God hears and knows all things, I know. He hears every prayer offered in an airplane with engine trouble. Lord, save me and I'll be a Christian. He hears all those prayers. But we have no reason to assume that he will answer them in wisdom and love and care and kindness as a father to a child. If we're outside of Christ, there is no blessing. There is no blessing in the Christian life that is ours if we remain outside of Christ. He is the only hope. The same hope, the only hope that Jesus mentions in this same prayer. He prayed for the benefit of those listening, that they may believe that Jesus had been sent by the Father to be the Savior, to be the resurrection and the life. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. You see how prayer is connected to the gospel, and it's connected to Christ and his coming into this world. Jesus was the one who says in John 11, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know you always hear me. But we need to see as well, friends, as we're thinking of being thankful for prayer, that this same Son, who had only ever known perfect communion and communication with the Father, went to the cross. He went to the cross, and as he was the great sin bearer, becoming a curse for us, Jesus experienced a divine deafness. The perfectly righteous last Adam prayed, but as the sin bearer of his people on Golgotha's dark day, he heard no answer. This is the same Jesus who said here, "Father, you always hear me." And yet on the cross, in our place, you see, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" That was the Redeemer's unfathomable, unanswerable prayer as he paid the penalty for the sin of his people. And yet, in the marvel of redemption, in the marvel of the gospel, in some way the God-man was heard, even then. Because Jesus was not abandoned to the grave. The Holy One was preserved from decay, so that even now the crucified, resurrected, ascended, seated Lord Jesus Christ ever lives at the right hand of the Majesty on high, praying for his people, pleading the merits of his own life and death for those who themselves are disobedient. And so you see, when anyone comes to Jesus in faith, trusting him alone for your acceptance with God, when you have the privilege of being in Christ, you have the privilege of lifting your eyes to heaven, to the throne of grace, through a new and living way that's been opened up for us by Christ's sacrifice. The privilege of being able to call God our Father as adopted children. That we too, as we pray in the name of Jesus, may have the same confidence that Jesus had. Father, I thank you that you have heard me, that you always hear me. Prayer is a purchased privilege. It is a blood-bought blessing in the gospel. How thankful we should be for it. The privilege of praying to our Father in heaven was purchased at the cost of the blood of the Son of God. I was going to look it up. How much do you think courtside tickets to the last Raptors game cost? I shudder to think. Nothing. It's nothing. Whatever it was, 5,000, 10,000, wouldn't be surprised, maybe more. Nothing. $10,000 so you can get close to some big guy's sweat dripping on you? Nothing. Young people, listen. Some of you, just because I mentioned it, your minds are already gone, so I should have had that. You're salivating. You're salivating at the prospect of being so near to Kauai. And when we pray, we get to draw near to God. And you know what the price of that was? My God, why have you forsaken me? That Jesus would lay down his life on the cross so that we could be forgiven and so that we can pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Spurgeon said, "Do you not realize that the love the Father bestowed on the perfect Christ, he now bestows on you?" What a tremendous reason for thanksgiving. Knowing that, as with Queen Esther, the scepter of the king has been extended to us, the scepter of divine sovereign power and love, and we may approach the throne of grace, humbly but boldly in the name of Jesus. You know, those who are self-sufficient and self-reliant and proud, who try to fix their own cars, no. will never understand this prayer of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you hear me, that you've heard me. The proud don't pray. Why would they? They don't pray. But the humble pray. Those who have come to the end of their rope pray. Those who have come to the end of their wisdom and their strength, they pray. Those who know God pray, and those who know themselves pray even more. The humble, the weak, the faithful have always prayed, have always been a praying people, and they've been thankful to God. And it's to this great promise of answered prayer that we cling in gratitude. If you are in Christ, God always hears you. Don't doubt it. He always hears you. He doesn't hear you for the eloquence of your prayers. I can't pray fancy prayers like so-and-so. He doesn't hear your prayer for any other reason but that you are in Christ, and that's every reason, and that's all the reason you need. He always hears you, and he always gives you what is best for you and for the church and for his glory. Always. Our grateful assurance does not arise from the hope that we will get whatever we want, but rather that God hears us in our distress and that he will send us what is best. How Mary and Martha must have prayed that Jesus would come and their brother wouldn't die. How they must have prayed. And Jesus doesn't come. And they wake up the next morning and he doesn't come. And they go to bed at night crying out to God that Jesus would come. And they watch their brother get sicker and sicker and he doesn't come. And they wake up the next morning and he's not there. 4 days. Was God deaf? Did Jesus not love Lazarus or Mary or Martha? No, it was a divine delay, Jesus says, for God's greater glory. And you've been praying for things, probably for some things for more than 4 days. Nothing that you can see. Nothing, nothing, nothing. It's not deafness. If you're a Christian, it's not deafness. It's a divine delay for God's greater glory. We pray in faith, call to me and I will answer you, Jeremiah 33:3, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. God would not be as glorified if he gave us everything we wanted. And we wouldn't be the people that he wants us to be if he gave us everything that we wanted. We pray according to Psalm 86:7, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Do not fear, Daniel. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? In some of our prayers, we're asking for bread. We think it's bread, and Jesus said, no, that's a stone. That'll be a stone in your life. You think it's bread, and you think you need it, and you think you can't go on without it. But from his perspective, he says, my son, my daughter, that's a stone. And I'm not going to give it to you. Or it's going to come later when it will be turned into bread for your good and for my glory. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Beloved children of God, whatever your situation, whatever your circumstances, whatever is on your heart this morning, be assured that in Christ you have the merciful ear of your Father in heaven. He will always hear you, and the best answer is already on the way. I was once speaking to a retired pastor who told me what he had learned in his own life and in the lives of Christians in over 50 years of Christian ministry. And we were talking about God, and we were talking about prayer in particular. And with the calm confidence that only God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God can give, he said this to me: God has always given me what I have asked for. But he went on: God has always given me what I have asked for, or he has given me something better. And it was that last word, better, that stopped me in my tracks, because that has to be true, doesn't it? He always has given me what I have asked for, or if he's given me something better. Not something necessarily nicer, or easier, or softer, or smoother, or lighter, or sunnier, or more agreeable to me, but better. Better. The wisdom and the love of God guarantees better. So as the children of God, as believers in Jesus, our Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father, for Christ's sake, always hears you. Thank you, Father, that you have heard me, said Jesus. On this Father's Day, may you say that to your Heavenly Father as you're thankful for prayer. Ask a man what he's thankful for, and you'll have a window into his soul. Examine the nature of a woman's gratitude, and you will have a finger on the pulse beat of her spiritual life. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Let us pray.